From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is being made with trash. That may sound flippant, but a proposed trash incinerator project in the Finger Lakes has ignited a growing debate over what's better for the area in terms of economics and tourism. Here's what we need to know. A company called Circular Energy wants to build a $365 million waste-to-energy incinerator in the town of Romulus at the former Seneca Army Depot. The facility would burn up to 2,600 tons of waste a day, producing energy, and the trash would arrive at the site from all over New York State. Those who support the project say it could create necessary jobs for the area, but there is a lot of opposition. And the opposition basically sounds like this. Garbage in the heart of the Finger Lakes, an agricultural and tourism region? Well, there's even a bill introduced in the New York State Senate and Assembly, and we'll talk about the legal implications of that. There's a lot to discuss about what the project is and what it is not, where we are with it, and what you ought to know. This hour, a couple of people on both sides. On the no side, Michael Warren Thomas is a talk show host, an advocate, a proud advocate for the Finger Lakes region. And fair to put you on the no side, Michael.
I'm firmly on the no side.
Well, it's great to have you back here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for the time.
On the yes side, Alan Kanoff is an attorney representing Circular Energy. And great to have you back in studio here, Alan. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I want to start with Alan. And what I want to do is ask both of our guests for their description of what the project is. So we'll see if we can get some agreement on what is actually being proposed here and where we are. And then we'll kind of go throughout the hour and we'll discuss the pros and cons, and we'll take some listener calls and questions, too. But, Alan, let's start with this. What is, and you don't have to edit anything out here, we got plenty of time to talk about who Circular Energy is, how this project came together, and what we're actually talking about.
Okay. Well, the biggest thing about this project is it's so great for the environment. To me, that's why I was willing to take this on, not so much because of the economy or whatever, but it is great for the local economy.
Burning garbage is good for the environment or the economy?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Okay.
Right now, what happens is most of our garbage is being landfilled. We're all in favor of zero waste. So, hey, if we can reuse and recycle all of our waste, hey, sign me up. That's great. We'll shut all the landfills, all of the waste energy facilities, and that would be wonderful. But that's not reality today. We have huge amounts of trash, and it can go two places. Landfills or a waste energy facility, which this is. And at a landfill, waste will rot, degrade to methane, 25 times worse for global warming than carbon dioxide. You get terrible odors. As we know, we have terrible problems at Seneca Meadows. My firm represents neighbors of the High Acres landfill in Parenton. They're having horrible problems. But waste energy is so much better technology. The waste comes inside the building. You have a negative air pressure, so there's no odors. And you burn it instead of burning coal or gas or oil, you burn garbage. So basically what we're doing today is taking good fuel, throwing it in a pile at a landfill, letting it rot, letting it stink up the neighborhood, and then we're going to frack for gas, which has its own environmental impacts, or drill for oil or mine for coal. So the net is this facility would actually be a net positive 168,000 tons per year of carbon dioxide equivalents. It's so much better for global warming, so much better for our economy. And to the extent people are trying to stop waste energy, they are saying we want landfilling because that's the only alternative. Yes, someday if we don't have any waste, that would be great, but I don't see it happening in my lifetime. We're pushing recycling. It's great. And in fact, this facility will recycle metals after the burn process. The metals will all be largely taken out and recycled. The ash will be recycled as a building, a component of building materials. So, and the reason, and the name of the company, Circular Energy, is modeled after the theme of the circular economy. Why are we throwing away good resources? So in Europe, in Asia, they're trying to push for the circular economy. They are largely expanding waste to energy, but we're not doing it here. And as far as emissions, it's myths, fairy tales people are telling. It was true in the 80s. There were some significant emissions of dioxin. Technology has changed since the 80s. My computer's a lot better than what I had in the 80s. I didn't have a cell phone. Well, air pollution control technology has gone leaps and bounds. So many orders of magnitude reduction in emissions of any toxic chemicals. So it's far less than 0.1 nanograms per cubic meter. Very, very, very low. The biggest emissions of dioxin today are landfill fires and backyard burning and forest fires. This is just totally insignificant.
All right, so you're saying safe, better for the environment than a landfill, and how many jobs?
85 direct jobs at the facility. Obviously, there's, you know, with a type of industrial facility, there's a multiplier, but 85 people, you know, give or take, would be employed here.
Full-time?
Yes.
Okay. How long would it take to build it?
About 2 years,
and it's on 48 acres on the old Seneca Army Depot site, correct?
Correct.
Okay. The trash does come from all across New York State?
It would come from probably all over the Northeast, more local, but, you know, it's all economics. It's a free market.
This thing sounds magic.
So it is such a great technology. That's why I got behind it. It's so positive for the environment.
Okay, so and one other question. Are there other facilities like this in other states that we can look at and say, look, they're doing it. It works there.
Well, you can look at facilities here. There's a very similar facility, although it's older. This would be a much more modern facility in Niagara Falls.
Okay.
There's a smaller facility in Onondaga. There's some facilities downstate. I visited the one in Niagara Falls. You don't smell any odor outside. You wouldn't know what it was. In fact, this facility, if the people in the Finger Lakes weren't raising such a fuss based upon impacts that aren't going to happen, nobody would even notice it.
Okay, so I'm sure Michael is ready to respond and describe the project as he sees it. But let me ask you say people are raising a fuss. That sounds a little condescending to a region that relies on agriculture and tourism, and when they hear a trash incinerator project in the heart of the Finger Lakes, you can sort of understand why there might be a little hesitation, right?
Well, what are the impacts? Tell me, what impacts? There'll be no emission to the lake, essentially no air emissions. The waste would come in on railroad in sealed containers. So are people opposed to trains?
So you're saying no smells?
Right.
No emissions, no environmental risk.
Right. I mean, there's air emission. I mean, you're burning, so there's going to be carbon dioxide. There's going to be minuscule, far below the EPA or European Union standards. Very safe and much better than, again, to landfill, where you have landfill fires creating dioxin and having odors and all kinds of impacts. So it's so much better.
Okay. And let's listen to what Michael Warren Thomas has to describe the project, because interestingly enough, I can't find elected officials who like this idea. Are there, Alan, by the way? I'm looking at Republicans, Democrats. Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb is a no, Republican. Phil Palmisano is a no. State Senator Pam Helming is a no. Those are Republicans. Michael Cusick's a Democrat. That's a no. Barbara Lifton's a Democrat. That's a no. Romulus Town Supervisor David Kaiser is a no. A lot of agencies. Who's for this?
Well, when we initially met with David Kaiser, we thought he was in favor of it. But I think what has happened is, you know, people have spoken out against this and the elected officials have reacted. But I don't think anyone has really looked at the facts. Again, if you're against
this... None of those people have looked at the facts?
I don't know if they've read the application.
Okay.
I don't think they are reacting to the environmental impacts. I think they're reacting to public sentiment. People say it would be bad. They don't want to have... Would there be some trucking? Yeah, there'll be some trucking. But any industrial facility, there's going to be trucking. This is far smaller. At Seneca Army Depot, the owner had a project to bring in Walmart for a distribution facility. Would have had about, 6 to 10 times more trucking. Everybody thought it was a great idea. They couldn't do it because they didn't have electric power. This is basically what we call an electric desert. It's a great industrial facility or, you know, a location for industrial activity, and it's got water, it's got sewer, it's got roads, it's got railroad, but it's pretty much empty because it doesn't have enough power.
Now, this Rochester company couldn't find a location that wasn't in the heart of the Finger Lakes?
This company, this is a perfect location. I mean, I'm not saying there isn't another. For instance, I live in Rochester on Park Avenue. I went for a run this morning. Where I run by? The train tracks. What's on the train tracks? Trains bringing garbage through. Didn't bother me in the least.
Okay, but if you're on a wine tour, are you going to notice any garbage? Are you going to notice any smells? Are you going to notice anything negative?
No.
Okay.
You might, you know, whether you could see the, the top of the building from some vantage points, yes, but you can see the power plant on the other side of the lake. There's a huge
Not a whole lot of wine people love that power plant on the other side of the lake.
Right, and they're going to have to, if they're coming from the thruway, they're going by Seneca Meadows, which is probably the biggest landfill
it
in
smells.
The state.
It smells.
Horrible smells. It looks horrible. They're going to see that. They're going to notice that.
But that's not a good reason to, like, you can't point to other things and say, look, I got this wart on my leg, so what's one on my head?
Well, tell me what's wrong with the look of the facility. It's a nice looking facility.
Okay.
And it's in an industrial location.
Are there any stacks coming out of it?
Yeah, there'd be a stack.
Okay. Okay, so that there's a visual. Michael Warren Thomas, I want you to describe the project, and then he's laid out a lot of ideas that some people might like. This is not pro-fracking. This is ideally, in their words, better for the environment. It's not a landfill. Better technology than ever before doing this. So let's lay out your concerns, and then we'll talk about it.
All right. I think 3 hours, something like that.
Okay.
It's hard to, and Alan said before that a true environmentalist would be behind this project. Unfortunately, it hasn't found any of those true environmentalists to back this project. The list of opposing groups, municipalities, and things it should be daunting to him. It's pretty unanimous. I'd say almost it's unprecedented opposition to a project in the Finger Lakes or maybe in New York State. Good luck to them. We don't think this is an appropriate place in the Finger Lakes for this scale. The smokestack that you mentioned is going to be 260 feet high. There's a reason it's that high. It's because they're putting out pollutants. Now, they may be within legal limits, but they're going to be putting out these pollutants every day, 24/7, for the next 50 years. And those pollutants are going to be wafting over the Finger Lakes every day. Now, obviously, they believe this is going to be a very clean facility because they proposed it 3,000 feet from a K-12 school. Downwind of the smokestack. I mean, the shadow of the sun is going to fall on the school, and this the pictures, and you have one up on your XXI website of this facility. Those are not shrubs around the facility in that picture. Those are full-grown trees. This is a massive facility. There are only 7 buildings in Rochester taller than this smokestack. There's only one in Syracuse taller than this, and there's none in Tompkins County taller than this smokestack. This is a truly massive facility. Its scale is a big problem, and they're not building this to solve our garbage problem. They're building this to solve the garbage problem of New York City, which the Finger Lakes is an economic driver for the state. I don't think Governor Cuomo has come to Circular Energy to say, we need you to save the state's garbage problem. We have to sacrifice the Finger Lakes wine region to do it. This would be, they're proposing the largest trash incinerator in the United States. Now, they've changed the figures as we've gone along. They started out at 25 megawatts, and they promote the megawatts because they want you to believe this is a power plant. It produces energy, but it's a trash-burning plant. That is the whole reason to do this. They upped that to 50 megawatts, and now they've said in the most recent application, 80 megawatts is what they want to do, which would make it the largest in the United States. Inappropriate place, and again, if it is so great for the environment, why don't they have anyone supporting it from the environmental groups? There's a long line of them that are against this. So it's a terrible spot. And the circular part of it, I just see this, it's the brilliant future of the Finger Lakes wine industry that's going to circle the drain if this goes through. The trains and trucks he minimizes, the scale is so inappropriate for one of the most exciting wine regions in the world.
Michael, tell me why, though. If Alan is saying no smells emanating from the building, and you know the emissions are not going to be. I'm thinking about wine touring groups. What is going to deter somebody from wine touring if this thing gets built?
Well, for one thing, the sealed train cars, as I understand, are sealed so that garbage can't come flying out of it. They're not sealed from odors. If they were sealed from odors, they'd blow up because of the gas building up in them as they're in the cars for, I don't know, a week or whatever it takes to get the garbage here from downstate.
I'm not a scientist, but that sounds about right. Alan, you can't seal odor from a train car, can you?
They're not going to be parked there. They're going to come right in and go. The material come right in the plant. No one is going to smell any odors.
No one's going to smell any odors?
I mean, if you hung out next to the railroad track all day long, you might smell something, maybe.
Well, school kids are going to be hanging out there, right?
I mean, I hope not.
Well, I mean, the
3,000 feet. They're 2/3 of a mile away. Okay, you're telling me you don't want an industrial facility within 2/3 of a mile of a school? Well, then let's close down all the industry in Rochester and Monroe County because it's going to shut everybody down. It's a long ways away, and there's going to be no impact on the school. This part of the reason. I mean, the emissions go up in a stack. The reason you have a higher stack is to have a better air dispersion, so you don't have any impact on the local area. That's the point of it. And again, Guardian Glass, huge stack. Seneca Meadows is probably, I think, is much higher structure than this would be.
I mean, it's still a big structure.
Yeah, it's a tall stack.
Is it going to be the largest facility of its kind in the United States?
I don't think so, but I...
Well, I asked you for other ones. You kind of pointed in-state.
I know the one
out of state?
Yeah, the one in Niagara Falls is almost identical size.
What's bigger? Is anything bigger?
I'd have to pull out the figures. I can't tell you.
I can.
Okay.
Delaware Valley, Pennsylvania is the largest in the United States right now. It handles 3,510 tons of trash, 1,000 tons of trash a day. At the 80 megawatts that Circular Energy has put in their latest proposal means that they would be processing 4,224.
Tons. This would be a more efficient operation. That's why we're saying we could get 80 megawatts. It's newer technology. We can do better with the same amount of fuel.
But you had 2,640 for the 80 megawatts, and so now you're saying you're going to have better technology to go to 80 megawatts and nearly double it and still have only 2,640 tons of fuel. That doesn't make sense. The numbers are changing.
You don't have the figures right. The original proposal was two phases. The first was going to be just under 25 megawatt, so we did not have to go to the state Article 10 process.
Right.
And then the second phase, so we were going to be at about 1,320 tons per day, and then we were going to double to about 2,640 or whatever. So it's like 2,400 metric tons, and then go to 50 megawatts. But we think it could be as much as 80 megawatts. It really depends on the efficiency. But we analyze the energy you can get out of that waste stream, and think we may be able to get as much as 80.
Okay, but Michael, I want to go back to a point here, because I think the bottom line is this does sound like a very big project.
Yeah, nearly the biggest in the country, if not.
Okay, but when you describe it gutting the Finger Lakes wine industry, I want to go back to where you think, are wineries going to close? Are people going to stop going? I mean, what's the, and be specific about why you think that's going to happen here. I'm trying to envision what you envision.
Sure. So, I don't think the existing wineries are going to close. I don't think that wine tourism will come to a stop. But if you are an investor looking to invest in a wine region around the world, there are many of them. You could choose the Finger Lakes. You could choose Napa, Sonoma. You could choose up-and-coming areas like Michigan or North Carolina. Or you could go to Europe, to South America. And if you're going to spend multi-millions of dollars to invest for the future and build a winery, are you going to do that within a few miles of the largest trash incinerator in the United States? They may say that it's, you know, no one's going to notice it. No one's going to notice all the trucks and trains. I think it's about 270 trucks a day. And by the way, the trains are, you said, going to be staged in Geneva at this point. That's where the trains would wait to get into the facility. You said that during the Romulus presentation back in November. Investors are going to go elsewhere. And this is a dagger to the heart of the Finger Lakes. It is in the heart of the Finger Lakes. Romulus, if you look at a map,
it's like a geographical center.
The heart. And it's a contaminated dagger. They are bringing trash from around the Northeast, as he said, and they are concentrating the hazardous part of it. And they will claim there's no hazardous wastes. Within that ash, they take the fly ash, which is hazardous, and they mix it with the base ash, and they dilute it. But there are hazardous chemicals in there, partly because they're getting better at pulling them out of the smokestack, and so they're not releasing as many, but they're still there. Is New York City doing a good job of collecting all the mercury thermometers? I doubt it. The recycling rate's under 20%. The stuff that's coming is contaminated to some degree, and we are concentrating that contamination. And where's that going to end up? Seneca Meadows,
but
or one of other landfills. We're going to, there's like 800 tons of ash a day that's going to be going to our landfills that are being brought in from this circular energy.
Why, let me ask Michael, do you support trash incineration elsewhere, just not here, or do you not support it at all anywhere?
I don't support trash incineration, and there, we can get into why. There's a lot of reasons, I think. It's not the technology of the future. That's ridiculous. There hasn't been only one new incinerator built in the last 20 or 25 years in the United States. This is the technology of the past. Europe and Asia may be using it. There are some problems there. You shouldn't try to paint that as just it's working beautifully. Recycling, if we put that money, that investment into changing what New York City does, and instead of providing them a cheap place to get rid of their garbage, we could change the amount of garbage coming out of New York City or coming out of major cities. This is not something new. Tompkins County is at 60% waste reduction. They're shooting for 80% by 2030. Rochester's at about 40%. We're shooting for 60% 2025. There's some great composting operations going on in the Finger Lakes and especially in Cayuga County and Tompkins County. We don't need to invent this stuff. It's there. We just don't have the political will to do it,
right,
to reduce garbage.
I'm looking at a list, Alan, on the environmental side. You know, Michael's casting down on the environmental aspects of this. But let me just read this list, and I want you to tell me again if this list is uniformly opposed to this project that you represent just because they don't know the facts, or if that's your position. Seneca Lake Guardian, that's a Waterkeeper Alliance affiliate. Seneca Watershed Intermunicipal Organization. Cayuga Lake Watershed Network. The Sierra Club Atlantic Chapter, Sierra Club Finger Lakes Group, Citizens to Preserve the Character of Skinny Atlas, the Finger Lakes Zero Waste Coalition, Concerned Citizens of Seneca County, Owasco Watershed Lake Association, Finger Lakes Regional Watershed Alliance, Seneca Falls Environmental Action Committee, and Sustainable Tompkins. Opposed, opposed, opposed. Nobody has stood up and said, you know, you're right, this is an environmental boost. We want to get behind it. I don't know any environmental groups. Why?
Well, you know who's in favor? State of New York. If you read their solid waste plan, the New York State solid waste hierarchy, very clear. We want waste energy over landfilling. And that's the official policy of New York State. The National Science Foundation, they cite too, has done studies to show that the impacts are minimal. You know, it's not a popularity contest. I'm standing up for this because I don't care what maybe a lot of groups opposed to it. There's no doubt. But what's good for the environment? This is great for the environment. We're going to make a green energy park. We're also going to have The plan is for greenhouses. We can fuel other industries there with steam or electricity. It is so positive for the environment. And to me, it's shocking that all these groups would be against it.
But
and
why
it says
are
they're
they?
They're in favor of landfilling.
Have
That's
you,
what they're saying.
No.
Because they're unrealistic.
Okay, but have you met with them personally to say, look, you're missing it. We think this is a great thing for the environment. Have you met with them?
Not one of those groups has offered to meet with me, has contacted me. A lot of those groups I had never heard of. Obviously, the Sierra Club I've heard of.
Okay.
But
I've heard of all of those groups. And listen, if you're out there and you want to learn more, Alan, you're going to meet with them? Would you meet with them?
Sure. I'll come talk to them, whatever. I'm happy to.
Okay, because environmental groups are... They've been very engaged with fracking, with other issues. They're very engaged on the science and the ideas.
Right. And, I mean, I was the leader opposing fracking. I took the case on pro bono. I won the case in Ithaca. We went up. I argued the case in the appellate division to allow local control for fracking. And there's a lot of environmental impacts from fracking. This project would say, let's not frack gas. Why are we fracking gas to burn for power? When we got good garbage, we can burn and make the same power. What sense does that make? You're taking good fuel, piling it up, letting it rot, and then we're making the same carbon dioxide to generate electricity.
Now, I'm not a scientist, and you're an attorney. Are you a scientist?
I have an environmental engineering degree.
Okay, see, that's more than I have. That is more than I have, Alan.
Okay.
Do you have other scientists who are saying, look, you're right, let's do this?
Yes, Columbia University put out a study, and they showed the huge reduction in impacts from waste energy. And again, that the biggest impacts are things like landfill fires. There's apparently thousands of landfill fires per year. So you're probably going to get more dioxin from the waste going to the landfill if you than burning it here. And he talks about hazardous materials. Well, what are we going to burn? Garbage, the same stuff that's under your kitchen sink right now that you take out to the curb every week. That is the material. And it's on my street, it's on your street.
I kind of don't want to, I want to think about the garbage that I'm not recycling, and I'm having a hard time, but again, I'm not a scientist. I understand the ideas you're presenting, but here's Deb writing to us saying, if this is such a great program, why doesn't New York City burn their trash in Westchester or somewhere closer to them, if this is a great idea?
I think there are incinerators in Westchester, there are in Long Island.
Of this scale?
There's several. There's one, I think the one on, I don't have the list in front of me. So
Hempstead is the same scale as this would be if they don't go to 80 megawatts.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. The megawatts is just how efficient your operation is. It's not the amount of garbage.
Okay. Michael, quick response from you. Then we got to get our break and we'll come back to your phone calls because I know a lot of listeners have questions on all sides of this. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, so this landfilling versus incineration is, I think, a false argument. There will not be less landfilling going on
if they burn the garbage
in the Finger Lakes.
Well, that part I don't understand. Why would there not be less landfilling if they're burning this garbage?
Because they're taking other garbage, not what's already come into our landfills.
Okay, so there's less landfilling elsewhere, but not here.
Somewhere, yeah. Or I don't know. They're maybe cheaper than another incinerator because they're more efficient. Garbage goes wherever the cheapest place is, and I think they look at the tipping rates every day. And they change which landfill they'll go to based on the tipping rates. We offer at Seneca Meadows, I say we, the Finger Lakes, some of the cheapest rates. We were actually, one of the other landfills was Chenango or someone was complaining that our rates are so cheap at Seneca Meadows that we're putting them out of business. So we're offering New York City this cheap place to dump their trash and they truck it here. It's like 7.8 million miles a year. I mean, you see the trash trucks on the thruway. If you drive the thruway at all, you'll see those trash trucks. And they'll still be coming more of them will be coming.
Why? Do you feel like we're sort of suckers if we take a deal like this?
I'm not sure what the deal is, but yes, suckers. There's no deal here. 80 jobs is, for those 80 people, that's a great thing. For the 59,000 people employed already in the wine tourism industry and the thousands more who will be employed with the investments that are coming to this region, that's a huge problem. So this is more trash. Already, the landfills in the Finger Lakes, and there are seven in the Finger Lakes, are taking 52% of the garbage for all of New York State that goes to landfills, comes to the Finger Lakes. Seneca Meadows takes a quarter of all the municipal trash going to landfills right now comes to Seneca Meadows, a quarter of it. The other ones represent, again, a total of 52%. So this extra trash, wherever it comes from, the Northeast, from Boston, I don't know, is another like 5%. We're becoming trash country, not wine country.
All right, so there's a couple of quick things, and then we'll get a break. Then we're coming right to your phone calls. 80 jobs, full-time jobs?
Yes.
Full-time jobs?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
I mean, and they're not going to be minimum wage like working in a restaurant. I suspect a lot of the jobs in the area are. But can I say, Seneca Meadows is supposed to close by 2025, I believe. What the reality of the situation is, the DEC gets put in a position where they have to extend if they don't have alternatives. So if we don't develop waste energy, they may have to keep Seneca Meadows open and some of these other landfills. But if we develop the environmentally sound alternatives, then they can start closing landfills. I'm not saying there won't be any landfills, but we can dramatically reduce the amount of landfills. That's what's happened in other parts of the world. Florida's gone this way. They just opened a new waste energy facility at West Palm Beach. It's just such a great technology, and it's so much better for the environment. And it's just surprising that the environmental groups would not stand behind it.
Well, because Rock City Cafe Racers writes to us on Twitter and says, if we continue to make it inexpensive to generate too much waste, we will keep generating too much waste. This plan perpetuates the problem. If we fight this and make it more expensive to be wasteful, we can then make a positive change. That's logic I can understand, Alan. I mean, if we're saying we generate too much waste already, and your project comes in here and says, well, we'll just burn the garbage, make it easy, does that really incentivize less wasteful behavior?
I don't think it really does. I think we're going to replace landfills. I think everybody's in favor of reducing waste, and everybody's in favor of recycling what we can't reduce.
But right now, nobody's in favor of this project. All these political leaders, both parties, environmental groups.
There are people in favor of it, but yes, there's more people opposed to it, but it's not a popularity contest. The question is, one, the rights of the property owner to develop his property, and secondly, what do the environmental laws require? This would meet all the requirements, and again, people stand up and say zero waste. Well, we're all in favor of zero waste. That's a great idea. If we go to zero waste, this facility will just have to close down and be repurposed.
And that's an ideal world. You're saying maybe we'll get there.
And I might also add, Seneca Army Depot is a federal Superfund site. Massive contamination. There's over 100 separate areas of concern or solid waste management units that have significant contamination. There was a munitions incinerator basically in this location. So there's a lot of hazardous chemicals there. It's not going to be used for agriculture. They need power, and there really isn't any practical alternative right now.
All right, so we got to get our only break. Our listeners have questions. We got phone calls. Listeners want to know, you know, who owns the project? Who will be making money from it? What kind of power are we talking about generating, and where does the power go? What impact would that have? And some other questions as well. So we're talking about this project, Circular Energy. It's a Rochester company, right, Alan?
Yes.
Locally based company that wants to build this project. I keep saying $365 million. Is that roughly correct, Alan?
Yes.
Okay, $365 million waste-to-energy incinerator project in the town of Romulus in the heart of the Finger Lakes at the former Seneca Army Depot. Alan Kanoff is here. He's a lawyer representing Circular Energy. And Michael Warren Thomas, a talk show host and advocate for the Finger Lakes region. So you're getting both sides of this, your phone calls after our only break. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg is testifying before Congress over how his company handled user data and privacy and the company's role in Russia's influence in the presidential election. We'll talk about what we're learning from that testimony, the role of social media platforms when it comes to privacy and user data. And we'll hear from people who left Facebook out of concerns over privacy. Talk to you Thursday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Let's go down the line of your phone calls. Will, first up. Go ahead, Will.
I have a comment and a question for Mr. Kanoff. I agree that with Michael Warren Thomas, that the landfill versus garbage burning argument Mr. Kanoff seems to advance is really a false equivalency. This is not for burning local garbage. He mentions the West Palm Beach facility. They had statutes in place to limit how much garbage was coming from outside of West Palm Beach. It was meant to be a local solution. So my question for Mr. Kanoff would be, how much local garbage, in other words, how much Finger Lakes garbage is going to be burned at this incinerator versus from outside. And if it's obvious that the outside garbage coming in far exceeds the local service, he's got to be kidding us when he says this is good for the economy and good for the environment. I'd like to hear his comment.
Will, thank you. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, well, I'm very serious that it is great for the environment because it will replace landfills. It's not a false argument. That's a very practical argument.
Landfills where? Here or elsewhere?
Just generally. Maybe I'm not that parochial where I'm only concerned about my neighborhood and my, you know, my county. I'm more concerned generally about the environment. But as far as we hope we'll get all the Finger Lakes garbage, but you probably won't get all of it. But we certainly it'll be most economical to accept Finger Lakes garbage. But yes, probably I'm sure more will be from outside the region than from inside the region. We want all the waste, frankly, to come in by rail because we're looking at about one train a day. But, you know, we're not saying there wouldn't be any trucking, but we really want to minimize any kind of trucking.
Well, even when it comes to rail, Carly writes to us and says, "Hi, Evan, I live on the border of the Neighborhood of the Arts and the North Winton neighborhood. The railroad is in my backyard and the garbage trains stop through all the time. And the bottom line is, summertime stinks in our neighborhood. The trash festers in those mobile dumpster cars. I don't know where I stand on this project yet, but that is just a stinky something for Genevans to consider." That's one idea.
Okay. Well, we'd heard that concern before, and that's something we definitely want to address because that should not happen. And
it's a mobile railroad car. You can't stop them from stinking if they're coming from New York City.
No, right? I think they're stopping. I think that's the problem. I think they are. I think they're parking. What I heard is in Geneva, they're like stopping and staging. And I think that happens sometimes in Rochester. And I think that is a problem. And we would have to address that with whatever rail carriers when we contracted with them. I agree.
Okay. Thank you for that, Carly, on the email side.
But I think the train whizzing through, nobody's going to, it's not really an issue. It's when it stops and if it's parked for a long period of time.
Okay. Next up, Joseph. Go ahead, Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph Campbell, president of Seventh Lake Guardian. And I have an observation and a question for Mr. Knopf. I'm glad you brought it up you represented the town of Dryden pro bono in the fracking issues. I used to think you were one of the good guys, Alan, but your arguments were based mostly on home rule. And my question for you is, why then don't you respect the rights of home rule for the host town on this incinerator project? The town of Romulus is unanimously opposed to this, as are most of the communities surrounding Seneca Lake. Yates County just passed a resolution last night unanimously opposed to the incinerator. So are you a hypocrite?
No. We actually applied to the town of Romulus for local approval, and we believe we meet the requirements of the zoning law for approval. We were then advised by the state of New York. The DEC called us, the PSC called us. They all said, hey, you guys got to go through this Article 10 process. You can't go to local town. So frankly, we met with local officials up front and to find out if they were receptive to this facility in their town. They were receptive. So we went ahead, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on engineering, and we made the application. We had one presentation to the board, and then we were advised, hey, we couldn't go that route. The state felt we had to go the Article 10 process. So that's what we're doing right now. If they change the law, obviously we'll have to go back to the town.
But obviously, you know that the town of Romulus is unanimously opposed to this project.
We've never had an actual public hearing on this and presented our application and had a vote by the planning board. I understand that it seems like the local official are opposed to it. I agree. But we haven't had a fair hearing. I'm in favor of, yes, local home rule, but also giving everybody a fair shake and an ability to present. And we haven't even got into the process. So I don't think that... I think if you look at the standards under the law, we meet them.
Joseph, any follow-up before I let you go?
That doesn't answer my question, but okay. Thank you, Evan.
Yeah, thanks, Joseph. Thanks for the phone call. Jacqueline writes and says, as a lifetime resident for 66 years of the Finger Lakes, I'm sickened by the change in our landscape with noxious odors and dirty garbage trucks on the roads. Why do we have to put up with other people's trash at risk to our health and the beauty of our surroundings? Surely with all the scientific knowledge there is, a cleaner way must be possible without spewing ash into the air. Or how about this? People take responsibility for their own garbage. That's from Jacqueline. Alan, what would you say to that?
Well, again, we're all in favor of reducing waste. This would not be spewing ash. This is the advanced technology, a very clean technology, far better than the landfill you have right now at Seneca Meadows. So, yes, this would be better. Now, can people locally, in their homes, reduce waste, compost? Yes, that's great. I agree. We shouldn't have all this trash to deal with, but we do. So the reality is, I think unfortunately, a lot of the recycling rates and all have really plateaued in a lot of communities. It would be great if it was increased and we would not have all this trash to deal with. But the fact of the matter is, it's out there. You got to deal with reality. We've got, whether it's 60% of the waste stream or 40% of the waste stream, it's a huge amount of garbage. And you can put it in a landfill, let it rot, let it stink up the neighborhood like it's going on in Parenton. Or you can have a clean process that also uses the fuel and avoids things like mining for coal and fracking for gas.
I've got a lot of listener questions to get through. Rachel wants to know if the white deer at the Army Depot would be impacted. I don't think so.
No, they were all moved to the north end of the Army Depot, far, far away from here. So there really would not be any impact on them.
All right. Daniel wants to know. Dan says, who is the parent company taking in the profits and where are they based? They're based in Rochester. Who would be making the money?
The people in Rochester. It's an LLC. It's a few businessmen. There is no parent company. A
lot of money to be made?
I think there would be a lot of money eventually. You have to invest $365 million, so it's a huge investment, huge risk, as they say, risk-reward. So, yes, you would make a lot of money. People make, Seneca Meadows is making huge amounts. High Acres, they're making huge amounts of profits. So, hey, in America, that's great for people to start businesses and make profits, take risk, do something better. That's great for our country and to employ people, but this will do it in an environmentally sound way.
I want to let Michael respond to that and also add your idea that when we look at this site at the former Army Depot, Alan's right, you can't farm there. There's some limitations on the land, but I know you see alternatives. So why don't you respond to what you heard and tell us about alternatives?
Yeah, I think there's some great alternatives. This is just an insane idea to put this in the heart of the Finger Lakes. He can keep saying it's great for the environment, and he wants to improve the environment of the entire United States and is not worried about the Finger Lakes. But I doubt he knows how many wineries are within 5 miles of this incinerator. Do you, Alan, how many wineries?
I know. I've been to one.
Right.
There's one more than one.
I don't know the measurement. I guess I've been to several on the east shore of Seneca Lake. I don't know the distance, if it's 5 miles or not.
Well, you have a study area that you're supposed to be working on for your public involvement plan for the PSC, and you've said that you're going to look at within 5 miles of the. Supposed to actually look within 6.2 miles, but
we're fine with 6.2. We haven't done the study yet.
Good.
So I can't tell you the results. We haven't predetermined the study.
Yeah.
So
well, you should know there's 11 wineries within the 5 miles, and there's more. Just within the 6. And actually, directly downwind is Aurora, which is a beautiful community, just featured in Vogue magazine and Vogue.com for about $50 million that Pleasant Roland has invested and Wells College in this magical community, which is now downwind from your smokestack, which is going to be producing legal limits of pollution every day. And by the way, just one note on that, 4 of the 10 incinerators in New York State, and there are 10, have expired air permits as of last year.
Well, we would have a valid one.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. I'm sure you'd be the exception. Hempstead, that big one downstate, 2016, their ozone release performance, severe non-attainment. So you may say you'll follow the guidelines, but clearly a bunch of these incinerators don't, and they still operate, and eventually will get shut down, or they'll just pay penalties the way some companies do so that they can produce more pollutants than they're supposed to. But the alternative for this site, really, an alternative for the Finger Lakes, is let's create the first solar-powered wine region in the world. And on this 48-acre site, you could put in, it ends up being about 10 megawatts of solar power, which is less than what garbage would produce. But then you have no moving parts. I mean, it's such a simple thing. You lay out the solar panels. And actually, if they spend, you know, you've got $365 million burning a hole in your pocket to invest. If you invest that, it's about $1 million a megawatt. You can actually create electricity. I'm sure some of the other brownfield is pretty inexpensive to add to your 48 acres. You can produce enough electricity for 73,000 households, which is like all the households in Seneca County, Cayuga County, Yates County, and half of Ontario County on that acreage in the former Seneca Army Depot. That would get us a long ways toward being one of the first, or the first, solar-powered wine region in the world. We would be behind it. I think you'd finally have environmental groups coming up behind you and saying, yeah, that is a good idea. There are no negatives. It is truly renewable, and Allen and Circular Energy claim that garbage is a renewable energy resource. Find the definition in the dictionaries. I looked under 20 definitions online. I did not find garbage as considered renewable. It's pretty obvious that solar, water, wind, those are naturally occurring, theoretically inexhaustible sources, and clearly renewable is not derived from fossil fuel. A lot of what they're burning are plastics and things which basically are fossil fuel. They're just burning them again.
Well, Alan's just an attorney for the company Circular Energy. Who are the partners in the LLC?
Gene Zhao is one of the partners, and some local people.
Did you talk to them? What do they think about Michael's idea? Shift away from garbage.
Well, actually, Mike Palumbo, who is the property owner, actually proposed to NYPA with the state to put a large solar facility in there. And unfortunately, the state rejected the bid because what that could do is bring the power line through. You need a power connection. We have to upgrade the power connection to the grid. We'd still like to do that. I think that's a great idea. We thought that was a great idea. We proposed that, and unfortunately, the state rejected the bid on it. I'm not saying it's not possible to do. And then as far as renewable energy, this is defined under New York State energy laws, renewable energy. President Obama's Clean Power Plan included waste to energy.
It's not under New York State law considered renewable. Other states, New York State.
It is. I'm an environmental lawyer. If you look at the energy law, look at New York State energy law, look at the definition of renewables, it's included. They didn't include it in the portfolio. That's probably what you're thinking of. And the reason was they didn't need the subsidies. So I think the ALJs recognized that and said, well, we really don't have to subsidize this like wind and solar.
Well, we're going to lose time here, and I can't get all the phone calls that we had here. But David in Pittsford says he's worried the incinerator isn't clean. And if it is, why don't they just build this in New York City? You got a lot of land in Central Park. Why not Central Park?
It's a park.
The Finger Lakes is sort of an aggregate.
The air is already too dirty in New York City, so they can't put an incinerator in that will add to the pollution. That's the reality of it.
Okay. So if we see it here, I want to ask our guest, Alan Knopf, who's representing Circular Energy, what are you going to do to make sure the groups that currently oppose this change? You're going to meet with them? Are there going to be public hearings? What's coming up with this?
There's going to be public meetings and all. So as part of our public involvement plan, we would have public meetings. And again, I'm happy to go. I have been invited. I mean, the Hobart put on a program in Geneva, invited me to speak, and I spoke. I've been willing to go to groups and talk to them about the project.
All right. So if they call you, you'll say yes. You'll meet with anybody.
Well, I have a very busy schedule, well, so I'm not going to say I'll go to every, you know, there was,
okay.
It'll keep you very busy.
But I'm willing to talk, but I have a lot going on. So.
Okay. Alan Knopf is the attorney representing Circular
Energy.
We
have a lot of other cases.
Michael Warren Thomas, what do you want the public to know about your perspective on what should happen with this project and what you want people to do about it?
It's a terrible idea. Tonight, Romulus Central School District, there'll be a meeting, the town of Romulus is looking at altering their zoning laws. I think Alan's going to be there. I would encourage anyone interested in this issue to show up. It's the number of people showing up that's going to help make a difference. So that's 7 p.m. tonight in Romulus. But in the state legislature, there have just been two laws that have been proposed, one by Republican Senator Pam Helming, Senate 8109, and the Assembly 10277. And those are important that we get passed very quickly.
Okay, so those are working their way through the Assembly and the Senate.
Right, identical bills.
Identical bills, so we'll see about that. And I want to thank both of our guests for coming in and taking the time. And I know they know each other and they've seen each other out and about working on this issue. Alan Knopf is a lawyer representing Circular Energy. Alan, thank you.
Yes.
A lot of questions, and thanks for being here.
Sure.
Michael Warren Thomas, talk show host, advocate for the Finger Lakes region. What are you holding?
I have a bottle of wine for, not for, I can't give it to you, Evan, but for Alan Knopf. This is the French investor in Ford Sellers, number 31 in the world. That's the future of the Finger Lakes.
He just brought Alan a bottle of wine, not far from where the project would be. Thanks to Tim George, the engineer, Megan Mack, producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a great afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow on Finger Lakes Public Radio and Rochester and WXXI.